Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and today we take a look at consumer protection issues with our two guests. Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to have you back.
Good morning, Larry.
And also back with us, Michelle Reinen. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to see you.
Good to see you too, Larry.
We'll be talking about the new cards that are going to be issued by Medicare, some summertime problems like vacation fraud and ID theft. And probably idea theft as well. Maybe. I don't know. You may have some consumer questions. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Love to hear from you. And callers online already, but before we go to the phones, let's take a look at those Medicare cards, those new Medicare cards they're going to be sending out. Why are they making that change, Sandy?
Well, this is something that we've talked a lot about over the past few years, and we hear a lot from consumers about it too, because you have 50 plus million Americans walking around with Medicare cards that carry their Social Security numbers.
Yep.
And we all know that Social Security numbers are the key to ID theft for a criminal. So there's a lot of concern about that. And Congress finally passed a law, and the federal agencies with responsibility for this are just starting to talk now about what the plan is to transition to these new cards with a new identifier. They won't contain your Social Security number anymore. It'll be a unique identifier, an 11-digit number. But the thing is, this is all going to happen automatically. Medicare will mail you, if you're a Medicare and enrolled in Medicare,
okay,
they will mail you your new card. And when you think about it, this is another opportunity by criminals who see, you know, this is an opportunity. And so remember, this will happen automatically. You don't need to take any action. You don't need to pay for a new Medicare card. You don't need to give anyone your credit card number for your new Medicare card. Nobody will take your Medicare benefits away from you if you refuse to pay money for a new card. So this is something that we'll continue to talk about over the next couple of years.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's just ripe for, I think it's a great change, but it's also ripe for fraud. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, something to keep our eyes on. Let's take some calls. Sherry and Stevens Point up first. Sherry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. This is a consumer complaint. I don't know who to call question, I guess.
Okay.
I have made an overpayment to a medical clinic in my area. And that occurred in January. I called them in February when I realized that I'd paid $105 on my account, which was not really owed. And I have been trying to get the money back from them ever since. I have called them in four different occasions, and they've told me, oh, the check's in the mail. And yet, it is now June, and I have not gotten my money back, and I just don't know who to complain to.
All right. Well, Michelle Reinen, you want to take that?
Sure. Well, at this point, given that she's made contact a number of times and tried to talk to different individuals about getting that, it's time to file that consumer complaint with our agency. You can do that by going online at datcp.wi.gov, and then there'll be a button for complaints, and fill out the general complaint form right there and give us that information. You'll want to provide copies of the bill that you have and if there's any statement of overpayment that you've received back from them. But then we'll make contact with the clinic on your behalf and try and help sort that out. If insurance were involved in this claim for other listeners type situation, then we might be talking and having you communicate with the Office of Commissioner of Insurance, because medical billing can get pretty confusing as to how it's handled. But in this case, since it's directly with the clinic, you'd want to file with us. And if you can't go online, then call 1-800-422-7128 and someone can mail you out a complaint form.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate that call. And we'll turn next to Tim in Wisconsin Rapids. Tim, hi to you.
Hi, Larry. Thanks very much. I'm calling because I received a letter from the Department of Justice in Wisconsin because I supposedly contacted them concerning the complaint against the IRS. I did not. They supposedly kicked this complaint to the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and I got a letter from them 2 weeks later saying that they did indeed begin this request or this complaint process, and I've since contacted them about the Freedom of Information Act documents I can get from them. I have not heard back from them yet. Shouldn't for a couple of weeks yet, but I'm curious as to whether I ought to be concerned about this or what kind of a thing this might be.
So they have a complaint and they didn't tell you what the complaint was?
They didn't tell me what the complaint was, no. That I supposedly made against them, against the Treasury Department.
And you didn't do it? You didn't
and
make
I didn't,
it?
And I didn't do it, and I didn't get a refund. I actually had to pay taxes, but I certainly wouldn't have complained about that because it was all legitimate. I'm just wondering if there's somebody's fishing for information or what's going on here.
Yeah, that seems pretty weird, Sandy Chalmers.
We would really like to see the letter you received.
Sure.
If someone's posing as the State Department of Justice, obviously that's very problematic, and we would like to know about that.
Yeah, I'll happily send it to you.
It could be a computer glitch. You know, maybe they had your name and address in their database and accidentally sent you a letter. We don't know. But you said that you did not call anyone at the state DOJ to follow up with them.
I did this morning, and the Ghilardi supposedly is out of the office until June the 5th, so I haven't talked to him yet.
Yeah, we'd like to see that, and we'll communicate with the people at DOJ. We work with them on a daily basis as well. But in the meantime, just in case, you might want to take a look at your credit report and just make sure there's nothing going on there.
Okay.
And to do that, you go to annualcreditreport.com.
Okay.
And you'll be able to look at your credit report free of charge. And just keep an eye on that going forward.
Okay, I'll do that.
Until this is resolved.
Okay, and I'll send you a copy of this letter then.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay, is there an address I can use for that?
Well, you can either file, upload it online as you file a complaint, and that's the datcp.wi.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can...
Now, if he has a paper copy, can he take a photo of the letter and download that with a...
Yep. Yeah, with a
smartphone.
That'd
be the quick way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see what I can do about that then.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate your help very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. That's a strange one. Well, we get a lot of strange ones, don't we, on this show? Oh, man. Maybe you've got a strange one, or maybe you've got a pretty straightforward question. I hope you'll join us. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Dana in Green Bay next. Dana, hello. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I had a very strange thing happen to me around election time, end of last year, obviously. I got a call from, I want to say it was like an informed electorate or something along those lines, and they asked me a couple generic questions and then said, is it okay if we give you a call back closer to the election and get your opinion? And I said, sure. They called back a month later, and he said, we had spoken with you earlier. You had agreed to provide us with some of your thoughts on the election. Can I get those from you now? And I said, sure. And he asked me a question, and as I was answering his question, he spoke over me, and he said, oh, okay, sure, no, that's great. And basically said, thank you so much. I appreciate your opinion. We'll make note of it, and hung up. So he didn't hear a word I said, didn't seem to care what I said. I felt like I was more of a tally mark on his sheet in whatever category he saw. But he just, you know, I made this call. This was the number. Here's what she said. So that really made me very skeptical about any polls that were put out. But now they keep calling. So once every 3-4 weeks, we get a call on the caller ID from this organization. And I don't want to answer the phone again in case it's another, you know, I'm not going to care what you say. I just called your number and I'm going to tally. Is there a way I can get them to stop calling? Or is it okay that I actually answer the call and tell them to stop? What would you recommend?
So electoral, political calls, survey calls in that nature aren't governed by the Wisconsin Do Not Call list, charity solicitations in that manner. But what I would suggest is that you do tell them that you want to be removed from their calling list verbally. And then after that, also ask for an address as to where you can put it in writing to them. And maybe the right person will receive that within the organization. If you don't have any success after that, you can file a complaint with us, and we will on behalf communicate that. But again, we have no authority to demand that they stop, because those types of calls, again, aren't regulated by the Wisconsin Do Not Call list. But if you have it in writing, the right person may receive it, and whoever scrubs their list could potentially remove the number.
Perfect. All right. I will go ahead and answer next time they call then.
All right. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Alan Kakana, it's your turn next. Hi, Al. Thank you very much for calling. What can we do for you?
Okay, good morning, Larry and guests. Since the end of tax season, every once a week or maybe twice a week, I get phishing phone calls both on my cell and my home number from someone purporting to be the IRS saying I owe money, obviously. It's some kind of scam. I just would like your guest to both comment on that and reinforce it for your listeners and other people who may not realize that they click on those numbers rather than letting go to voicemail and then erasing them or deleting them immediately. If they have a number they don't recognize, that it probably is a good idea not necessarily to answer that phone number, because they either will be sucked into a scam or the number will be sold off to somebody else for some kind of scam purposes.
Yeah.
That's my comment. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Al, for calling. Appreciate it. Sandy, do you want to comment?
Yeah, that's become one of the most common phone scams in this country over the past couple of years. And most people have received this call, but it's either a recorded message or it can be a live person saying they're from the IRS and you need to pay immediately. What we tell people is that the IRS does not call you out of the blue and demand immediate payment. They'll always communicate with you by snail mail, U.S. Postal Service, first. So you would be aware if you were going to get a call from an IRS agent. Whenever you get any kind of questionable phone call, or any call from a number you don't recognize, it's really best not to engage with the callers. And we hear a lot from people who tell us really entertaining stories about things they do to telemarketers. But really, it's best not to engage with them at all, because it just encourages them to call you back. And another point that I would raise is that if you're getting calls on your smartphone, there are so many good call filtering apps out there that will either flag a potentially fraudulent call or do something like let it ring once and then give you a message saying, you know, this number has been flagged as a fraudulent number. So look at those apps and use them, because they're great.
Okay, thank you so much for that call. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Visiting today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Again, the number, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org, and you can also post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Michelle Good, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Net. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn talks to her guest about what he calls the new urban crisis. That's at 2 o'clock. Right now, taking a look at consumer protection issues with our guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. And we'll go to Dave in Milwaukee next. Dave, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, girls. Yeah, I had an interesting call last week. It seems the state lottery, I'm not even sure he knew which state I was in, and in conjunction with Publishers Clearing House, had picked me to win $2.5 million and a white Mercedes-Benz. Right?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, doesn't it? Well, what sounds too good to be true probably is, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, he said his name was Mike Phillips. I don't know if that matters. Gives me a confirmation number of 001002. He gives me a couple of phone numbers. You're going to love this one, 1-876-502-4717. That's the number he called me from, right? I checked it out. It's Jamaica.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wanted... it all came down to they'll come by with a check for $2.5 million in the car. All I needed, he kept calling it a receipt. What he wanted was a check in my bank for off my bank for $500.
Dave, thanks for calling. And Michelle, you've heard that one before, haven't you?
We have heard a variety of different phone lottery-type scams, and we've seen a pattern and trend that they are out of Jamaica. The Federal Trade Commission, the U.S. Department of Justice, just recently announced in May that they had a crackdown and an arrest of 8 Jamaicans that were then extradited to the United States for running exactly that, a lottery scheme that impacted more than 90 people and bilked them out of $5.7 million. So be very cautious. I mean, remember that as far as a lottery goes, a foreign lottery, it's illegal to play. So how can you possibly win something that's illegal to play? How do you win something if you've never entered that lottery in the first place as well, even when it's a legal lottery situation? So some real cautious things to be thinking of if you receive one of those phone calls. But what we've seen in the past is these calls can get very aggressive. So we don't encourage you to engage or play along with them. Just hang up and disconnect the call and move on, because they can put a lot of fear tactics into people.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. I wanted to mention Lewis from La Crosse called to say, left a message that he gets that same call from Informed Electorate that our earlier caller was getting. He says it's a recording and they are just fishing for more information and to make sure it's a live number. That's why they talk over you. He tried and tried to stop the calls. Now he just picks up and hangs up immediately once a week when they call.
Well, we have seen that in the past where these criminal operations realize that surveys are not covered by state and federal do not call laws. So they pose as pollsters, thinking that they can fly under the radar, and then they still ask for personal information, maybe financial information that they can sell, you know, to generate leads with other criminal or fraudulent operations. So I don't know about this particular informed electorate, who that is or what they're looking for, but we have seen that in the past.
Yeah. Kathy couldn't stay on line, but wants you to talk more about the apps to block calls. Can you name a few, or at least say what to search for in the app store, Michelle?
If you're going to search, I'd look for call blocking, call blockers, telemarketing blocker. You could search calls blacklist type situations. That should bring up a number of different apps. One popular one, not endorsing any over another, is Nomo Robo. And I think we talk about that one because it was it won a contest with the Federal Trade Commission a number of years ago, and it worked for voice over internet applications, and they're trying to expand that application to other types of phone lines. And they operate, as Sandy indicated, different ways. Some can be on a one ring system where they will then allow a single ring that you'd hear, and then it blocks that call. Some work off blacklist, whitelist, where you need to indicate if the call was a scam call or not, and it builds these and feeds off what other consumers are adding as well. So as these scam artists continue to spoof and take over other numbers, the list is just building and building. But there's a large variety. You'll want to read through the privacy policies on them, see some will have a fee, some will not, and figure out what works best for the kinds of calls that you're receiving in your phone.
Yeah, and you know there are hundreds or thousands of these types of apps, but something else you consider is that some security apps for your smartphone include a call blocker.
There we go.
Yeah, just do your research and look for lots of downloads.
Okay. Tom in Milwaukee up next. Tom, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for the program. I got so many calls on my landline and my cell phone. I did get the app on my cell phone, which does ring and says scam, which you can just shut off then. But on the landline, I'm still receiving up to, in 2 months, I took the numbers down. I received over 75 calls, and unless I shut my answering machine off, I'll get things like, this is a pharmaceutical company, this is women's breast cancer, this is child, this is the police department calling for donations, politicals. Is there any way of blocking on my landline?
Michelle?
There are devices that you can purchase, and some phone companies offer a service that you can maybe pay for as well, for the landline. But then there are the things you can adapt to your phone message service, a whitelist or blacklist blocker type situations where you would then need to hook it up, download, and build your lists from there as well. But different electronic stores carry a variety, and I'm sure there's plenty online as well.
So it's just called a landline phone blocker?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you have voice over internet phone service, you can use the Nomo Robo app that Michelle just mentioned.
It's
something that's free. And just go online and search Nomo Robo.
Okay, I can do that. Thank you so much. This is a great program.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Ingrid in Oconomowoc up next. Hi, Ingrid. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was just calling to say that I got a robocall or whatever from somebody a year and a half after my sister died, and they were asking for my sister on my cell phone, and I said, what do you want? And then they hung up, and then I incessantly called them for like an hour, and I've not had a problem since then. I called them probably 20 times.
Yeah, that can be a number of things, some concerning, but most not. If they haven't called you back, it may have been somebody calling who didn't know she had passed away. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
All right, there we go. Thank you for calling. Larry from Stevens Point emailed asking, earlier this year we had an estimate for some work to be done on one of our buildings from an independent contractor. We thought the estimate was reasonable and that the individual seemed knowledgeable and would do a good job. We gave him a 50% down payment accumulating material for the job. After a period of time when we had not heard from him, and there was no answer at the business phone. We looked him up online and found an obituary. According to the funeral home, he had actually died, and we have written to the business address for a refund, but have found nothing or have not heard anything. Could be, so some suggestions in that situation. Could be any number of things going on. It could be that the person did the estimate and then actually died, or it could be that somebody else saw that he died and has got a little scam going.
That could be that he was a sole proprietor, you know, business-wise, and the people who've taken over probate are trying to figure it all out, too. I would suggest at this point filing a consumer complaint with us and letting us try to assist with this to see if there's still a structure in place and what's left of that, what kind of claims could be made. So you can do that, provide a copy of that contract with that. But go online at datcp.wi.gov and fill out the complaint there, or call 1-800-422-7128. We can also see if we have other complaints and know anything about the structure or what's going on there.
Okay. Makes good sense. Victor in West Allis, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I read as well as heard on another radio program that the IRS is going to be assigning collection agencies to pay for back taxes. Now, they supposedly they're going to send you a letter saying what collection agency is going to be used. Do you see any, say, problems in the future on this?
Oh, all right, good question. Sandy Chalmers?
Yeah, there are potential problems about it, and we are going to have to do a lot of education, I think, in the next couple of years on this issue. And the IRS is doing a good job about talking what taxpayers should expect with respect to these private debt collectors. But you're correct that the IRS says that you're going to get at least two letters. The first letter will say which private debt collection company your account has been assigned to. And then the second letter will come from the debt collection company itself. And this will be happening after you've owed the IRS for a long period, probably 2 years. So none of this should be a surprise if you get one of these letters. But where we see a potential problem is if someone got a call from somebody claiming to be a private debt collector working for the IRS saying, you need to pay us now or you're going to go to jail. You can wire us the money. You can pay by an iTunes card. You can pay with an Amazon gift card. Those are obvious red flags because it's not following the process that the IRS has laid out. So people are going to have to be aware that there is a new process. But with other things, if somebody calls you out of the blue, asks you to pay immediately using an iTunes card or an Amazon gift card or wire money, those are red flags.
Yeah. Thanks, Victor, for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, if you have a question or a complaint or an experience to share. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Some open lines get you on pretty quickly. And also email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Turning next to Eric in Madison. Eric, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to share, those people had called about, how to get telemarketers off of your phone, your landline, or actually can use this. I use a service called the Jolly Roger Phone Company. It's like less than $10 for the year, and it's really great because they actually put robots on the line that end up talking to the telemarketers, and the telemarketers don't realize they're robots. And then at the end, they send you automatically a audio file of what transpired in the call, and a lot of times it's hilarious when they don't realize that they're talking to a robot.
Well, that's one I haven't heard of. Michelle, have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't heard of that one. And like we said, there are a number of them out there, so trying to decide what suits you best. You know, do you want the call to be answered and engaged? Because I would think there's still a risk that the number would be resold then. You'd end up on a list because there was a form of engagement. That would be my fear factor with that service.
Sure.
But if it means you're not ringing and you're not dealing with it, and that's what's right for you, then that
yeah,
that
he's
works.
Good.
Yeah, he's got a great TED talk all about it. It's the guy loves, you know, phone service in general and just hates the fact that they're being clogged up with telemarketers.
So there we go. Well, thanks, Eric, for calling. Jolly Roger, that is a new one on me. I had not heard that one. Well, Aparna in Madison up next. Let's go there. Hi, Aparna.
Hi. Hey, I've been listening to your show, and I have a quick question for you guys.
Yeah.
So I have been getting these fraudulent calls all the time about my taxes when I have already paid my taxes. And the person who talks to me always tells me to wire the money immediately. After a couple of calls, I stopped taking those calls, and they call from different numbers each time. So now, right now, I don't pick up calls. It had been going on for a long time. I just don't know how to stop them calling me. They use different number each time.
Yeah. Well, is it a landline or is it your a cell phone?
It's my smartphone.
Your smartphone. Well, Sandy, I'm going to go back and maybe repeat some of the suggestions that you made earlier.
Yeah, I think one of the call blocker apps would be helpful so your phone wouldn't even ring when these callers try to get you. But, I mean, we've seen this over and over. If you engage with one of these telemarketers who are criminals, remember, your number will be sold on to other criminals, and they will all try to call you because they see you as somebody who's vulnerable to a fraudulent pitch. Mm-hmm. And so a call blocker app would be helpful since this is a smartphone that you're getting the calls on. And the other thing is that when somebody you don't know asks you to wire money, again, that's a red flag, and criminals know that wiring money is just like sending cash, and it's very difficult to trace. You, as the victim, are probably never going to get your money back, and so if anybody you don't know asks you to wire money, if they ask you to deposit a check and wire money back, or if somebody calls you, says they're a relative and in an emergency situation and asks you to wire money, don't do it. Those are all well-known scams.
And would that NoMo Robo work for her, or would it be another?
No, that's for voice over internet.
Yeah.
So you would have an ISP providing your phone service. But again, there are lots of call blocker, call blacklist apps out there for smartphones.
All right. There we go. Aparna, thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling. Debbie in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Debbie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I had an incident with my mother last year over Memorial Day weekend. Thursday night about 7 o'clock, she got a phone call saying she had a refund coming from Social Security and that they would need her bank account number. And being 95 years old, she gave them everything.
Oh.
Our saving grace was the fact that when he hung up, he said, well, thank you, sweetheart. And it bothered her. The next day, she had a doctor appointment, and she mentioned it to my sister. My sister went, oh, you didn't. And so they called the bank right away, and they said they had to leave it open for them to try something so they could prosecute. Nothing happened. And on Saturday night, $500 came out of her checking, and then it was checking, savings. And they opened a credit card in her name, none of which went through because, thank God, we stopped it. But we had to sign papers for all of this stuff to, you know,
wow,
to show that we, you know, in good faith, we didn't do it.
Wow.
And then when we did stop the account on that Saturday, they called her back and said, why did you stop the account? Now you're not getting a refund.
Oh, man. Michelle, is that...
Well, I think first, thank you for sharing that story with us, because it just reinforces a lot of what we say as the please do all these things. And yours is a perfect example as to why the messaging we have is in place. The call was unsolicited. If you're going to get a refund, you're going to get a letter about the refund. They're just going to send it, and they'll send it in the form you normally do business with them. So if they already have your banking information, because that's how they make your payment type situation, that's what they're going to do. But Sandy's been talking about, you know, the wiring money being a huge red flag. An unsolicited phone call that asks for your personal information is another one of those big red flags. If you receive a letter, there'll be contact information and you follow through on that. But someone calling you out of the blue asking for all your personal information is a time to disconnect. Just hang up that phone call, because it's not going to be anything.
My mother grew up during the Depression, and she's 95 years old. So when she is told that somebody owes her money,
right?
You know, of course she's
got
it.
Yeah.
Right. And so we just kind of need to keep reinforcing and encouraging. We have a booklet. It's called the Wisconsin Senior Guide. It's there, and it describes a number of different scams. And sometimes just having it sit there next to the phone is a visual reinforcement for different individuals to know that it's okay to hang up the phone, because it's uncomfortable for a number of people to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Thank you so much for calling, Debbie. Yeah, 95 years old, my goodness. And so, and unfortunately, that's where a lot of those scammers make their money, is on elderly folks who...
Right. We've seen every year that there's a number of very specific scams that target seniors. There are lead lists out there that are seniors, so they know how to target individuals. We've talked about the Microsoft Tech Support scam being one that targets romance scams. These IRS calls target seniors, but they hit everyone, but they have target markets involved. I do want to say, remind the phone number to get the senior guide, 1-800-422-7128, or you can download a copy from our website as well at datcp.wi.gov, so we don't forget how to get that.
Let's go to John in Lake Halley next. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I've been getting like 3 or 4 calls a day from different numbers, different areas all over the country, and all of them seem to want to give me money for my business that I closed 2 years ago. And I don't know how to stop these calls from coming in.
Boy. And they come in on your smartphone?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we're Michelle? Sitting here in silence. No, thinking about that one. I think, again, using the apps, not engaging in the calls. I'm not sure. I mean, they obviously know you have a business, so there must still be some trail or market out there where your business information is that they're finding value. But I think the not engaging, I don't know if Sandy has other thoughts.
Yeah, if your business was registered with the state, you know, that's public information and available to anybody who asks for it. So that could be how they got your business name and phone number. But again, a call blocker app and or one of these devices that Michelle talked about earlier, if it's a landline, a hardwired landline, is about all we can suggest.
Could he get his company name removed from that state lists, or would there be a...
Well, here in Wisconsin, they indicate that the business is no longer in
oh, they do.
It's still there as a business name because it was an entity, and open records documents require things to be in place for different periods of time. So, but they put a different status on it, that it's no longer, it's closed or not renewed, or what those statuses are. So I don't think he can just have it wiped off.
Yeah, but I can tell you, I set up an LLC probably 15 years ago that was dissolved, you know, 10 years ago, and I still get mail. So it does happen.
It does. Okay. There we go, John. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. Taking a look at consumer scam issues today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Looking at consumer scams today, if you have a question, comment, or maybe an experience to share, give a call. I think we have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Or you go ahead and email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'll turn next to Cindy in New Berlin. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Larry. My question regards a legitimate business. I bought gas yesterday at a Quick Trip gas station in New Berlin. And when I got home, I paid by credit, and I happened to look online at my statement, and I saw the charge for the gas, and then I saw, in addition, a $1 charge that was not on my bill. I didn't buy anything, and I didn't sign or authorize this dollar charge. I actually went back to the gas station today and asked the owner or whoever was at the station about it, and he said it didn't go to him, that it must be something that goes to Quick Trip. And my question is this legal that they can just charge their customers a dollar for question mark?
I think sometimes, well, I don't know. I shouldn't say anything because that's happened to me. And I think I was told once that it was a test. They put a dollar up just to make sure it's going through, and the dollar goes away after really? The initial charge works. But Michelle?
I've seen that with online purchases, Larry, where it will be broken apart, but it still equals the total amount that you agreed to pay. It's just that initial to make sure it's going to go through, and then they do the full amount for online. But when you're at the station and you went in to pay this extra dollar, many things come to mind, but it doesn't appear as though it was an authorized charge that you made. So,
well, I paid by credit card right at the pump, okay?
Okay.
And the amount that showed up on my statement was that amount, plus a second separate charge for $1. And I know it's only a dollar, but when you multiply it by a lot of people doing that,
that's not right.
And the owner could not explain it to me. He said it didn't go to him. He looked at the receipt and said, you know, he kind of didn't get it. Evidently, he was unaware of it. I'll have to watch and see if the dollar is in a way or not. I've never heard of that before, but it's kind of, I don't know, a little shady to me.
Yeah,
sorry.
I would also call our 800 number and 1-800-422-7128 and report this and ask to be transferred to the Bureau of Weights and Measures because they handle a number of different issues with the gas stations and talk to someone there about the issue.
Okay. Could you give me that number again? I'm sorry, my phone is breaking up here, and I heard the 800 and then...
1-800-422-7128.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling. Multiply that by 1,000 other customers,
right,
or 10,000, and pretty soon you're talking about a lot of money. Dale and Kimberly, your turn next. Hi, Dale.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, I received a robo-text the other day from, it was a caller that was saying it was my cousin, and they were having medical problems, and they needed me to contact them right away. And I thought, that's got to be some type of scam where they're trying to get access to your phone number and say they're you. So I'd never seen that before. I was just curious if you've heard that from any other callers.
And it was a text?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one really common scam, unfortunately, is what we call the grandma scam, where somebody will call an elderly person saying, it's me, grandma, I'm in jail, I need you to wire some bail money, or I'm in the hospital, you need to wire the hospital money. But this is a little bit different with the text, but obviously you would have called the number back, and there would have been some kind of pitch for money. So you did the right thing in ignoring it.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was very unusual.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, and the other thing that we see from time to time is people whose email accounts are hacked, and you'll get a blast saying, well, I'm in England traveling, and we lost our wallet, and you need to wire us money right away. Well, that's obviously a scam, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Dale, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's turn to Dennis in Fairchild next. Dennis, hello.
Yeah, I keep getting a phone call. It's been going on for the last two or three years where they say they're from Microsoft or some other part of the Dell or something. And they say that they keep getting a series of reports sent to them from my computer, and they need me to turn on my computer and type in a certain name or something, and then they so they can go into my computer and fix the problems. I always hang up on them and tell them to stop calling me, but they continue calling me. They've been doing it for 3 years now.
Oh, that's a long time, Michelle.
It is, and it's a very popular top-ranked scam that we see a lot. It's we call it the tech support scams, and they inundate the country, and the FTC, along with a number of states, just tried to do a sweep of them and had a number of complaints filed and prosecutions in the last months and that had developed over the last year. But he described the scam perfectly. You get a phone call. Your computer is sending off signals that there are problems with it that need attention. You have a virus. Pay money, we'll help fix it. We need access to your computer. So a couple things have happened to you if you engage. You've given away money, and now you've given away access to your computer where they can load some malware and track and get access to whatever computing you do and put a virus on there, even though you don't have one. So if you've ever engaged in this call, it's important to clean your computer immediately afterwards. Don't go do your banking business until you've made sure your computer doesn't have some malware loaded on it. But the best thing is what he did, just hang up the call. Don't engage, don't pay. And if you have concerns, run your own virus protection. Go seek a professional out that you've solicited.
Hmm. Yeah, the funny thing is my computer has been unplugged and sitting in a box for 2 years.
This call calls people who don't even own computers. So we've seen everyone get solicited.
Oh, man. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate the call. Oh, boy. John in Chippewa Falls, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. How are you? Great show.
Thank you.
I was calling. Actually, this didn't affect me, but I got a call yesterday while I was on my cell phone with another call. So the caller left a message, and I didn't really read the message. I just called him back, identified myself, and I said, I understand you just called me. Is there something I can help you with? Because I do a lot of registrations, and people call me for that. Anyway, so what happened was he said, well, no, I haven't touched my phone for at least the last 2 hours. So I said, well, let me find the message. I'll if it seems important, I'll call you back. So I did pick up the message, which was a robocall. And so I called him back and I said, well, it was a robocall and it came from your number. And he was elderly. He said, I have no idea what happened there. And I said, well, I don't either, unless they picked up your number from Verizon somehow and then are using that. And so I get a lot of local type calls that are robocalls, and I just hang up. But it kind of bugged me. I thought, well, maybe they've got my number too, and maybe they're calling people using my number. So I wondered whether that was common or not. And I'm going to take my answer off the air, if that's all right.
Sure. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah.
Sandy Chalmers?
One of our key messages is don't trust your caller ID, because criminals have access to software they can use to manipulate what appears on your caller ID and make it look like a local number. And in this case, it was a local number that was in use by this elderly man. But criminals get that you're more likely to answer a call if it's coming from a local exchange, and because you think it might be a neighbor or somebody from school or work. So they use that as a tactic. We've seen cases where caller ID will show as a local business or a local charity, local humane shelter even. So don't trust your caller ID.
Now, that's really irritating. I've had that happen to me, too, and it's always a robocall or something, and then I hang up. But
for a while, crooks were calling through, and the caller ID number would be one digit off from your own number. And, of course, that kind of piques your interest, and you pick up the phone, and which is what they want you to do.
Steve in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, so I have been getting 10, 15, sometimes 20 calls or messages, text messages, straight to voicemail messages of people calling, talking about student loan consolidation. And I've been getting them for so long that, it's bothersome because I use my work for phone, so I have to pretty much answer any phone call that comes through. And I've picked up the representatives, enough to understand that it sounds like it's legitimate. And then I actually got some information out of a couple of them and then tracked it through social media and found the lady's estranged husband. And he confirmed that he was, that they were buried in student loan debt, but they used my phone number when trying to get student loan quotes and those pop-ups on the internet. Is there any way to get my number removed off of this spider web that's happened from them selling it over and over again?
Oh, boy.
No. I hate to just be that blunt, but no, it's going to be really difficult. Once the number's on a list, and if you keep answering the phone, which I understand since you're using your phone for business, you need to be picking up. I mean, lists change over time. If you are not engaging and those who are checking that list are crossing you off and not reproducing, but the main master list you're on will still continue to resell it from there. But it's obviously a list that's targeting scammers or legitimate companies who are trying to do student loan consolidation. You're seeing that theme there, and I have no good idea for you to remove that number.
Other than maybe change your number, but in his case, that's a problem because it's connected with his business. We need to take a quick look at the news and weather, and we'll be back right after this look at the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, taking a look at consumer scam issues with them today. We have one open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Don't forget, you can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. Randy in Prentice is up next. Let's go there. Randy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. Say, I just have a question. I don't know if it pertains, if you can answer this, but my son signed me up for a a contract with Dish Network, the 2-year agreement. And I wasn't there. He thought he was doing me a favor because we're going to get into financial trouble. And I was just wondering if that 30-day cancellation period on a contract is good. They said it wasn't good because we're out of Colorado. And I was just wondering if you had a heads up on that at all.
Okay, so you tried to cancel it, and they said, well, no, that 30 days doesn't work because we're in Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's turn to Michelle for that.
Yeah, and normally when you're signing a 2-year contract, that you're bound by that contract, but they often have an early termination fee if you want to get out of it, and there could be a cost for that. But in Wisconsin, in certain situations, there's a 3-day right to cancel, but it has to be where they contacted you, it's away from their place of business, a certain dollar value, all sorts of factors. And contract renewals don't typically fall within that 3-day right to cancel. We don't have a standard 30-day contract cancellation in Wisconsin.
Okay, so it was 3 days.
There's a 3-day in some situations, but I don't believe in this case, a renewal, that it's going to be applicable.
Okay, so I'll just have to deal with trying to negotiate. You know anything about Can you negotiate with them, or is there a set thing on that? Or I suppose I'll just have to call and see.
Yeah, you can always try to negotiate with anyone. Have a conversation and figure things out. But just be aware that they likely have an early termination fee aspect to the contract. So you'll want to just read through that part of your contract before making the call.
And maybe
it's quite high.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your son is a minor, you should mention that.
Yeah, he wasn't, so okay. I'll have to kind of go with that. I really appreciate your help, and nice job, Larry. I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much, Randy, for calling. I'm sorry things may not turn out as well as you would like, but let's see. KB and Campbellsport, I believe, up next. Hi, KB. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, folks.
What can we do for you?
Hey, I just had an explanation for the Quick Trip transaction the previous caller had regarding the $1 charge.
Yeah.
That is actually a pump activation protocol, and what they're doing is they're just checking to make sure that the card is active and good, and and if it's coming from a checking account, if the caller looks on the bank statement, she'll see that she was charged $1, but then there was $1 credited to the account. And then there's the amount for the gasoline that she purchased. That's typically for purchase at the pump only. If you go inside to pay, that is not an issue. They're not charging that $1 at the checkout counter. It's only pay at the pump.
You know, I've actually had that as well, and it has been wiped. If you check your statement, you're going to see that it was wiped. At least
yep, yep, exactly. That's what it says. Just checking to make sure that it's good, active, that you have the potential, because it can decline at the pump, if it's for whatever reason. So it's just checking to make sure it's active and good, and it's a little inconvenient when you're checking through the bank statement and reconciling a check register or something like that. Got to make sure that you see both of them, wipe them out, and then go with the actual transaction for the purchase.
Oh.
But it's pay at the pump only. It's not if you go inside to pay. So
all right, KB, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Susan in Portage County next. Susan, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I've got a curious thing, and I don't know if I'm missing something. I did some comparison shopping on a water heater and got the brand that I really was looking for and a price quoted to me verbally, and took this fine. And when the project was nearly complete, guy was going in and out from his truck just to haul stuff. I said, well, I'll start writing your check if all is the same. He said, yes. I wrote him the check, and he went back out in the truck. Then he left, and he never wrote me an invoice. Now, I thought, okay, just absent-minded, drove off. He did have to come back for some little thing, and I asked him again at that time, I need an invoice, even though, granted, I'd have my canceled check. But he said, oh, he would get one mailed to me right away. And he said, oh, I thought I sent that to you. I said, no, I have nothing. Been here for months and years. So, but anyway, why wouldn't he give me an invoice?
Hmm. Well, there's some potential reasons for that, Michelle.
Yeah, and they're not good. So there could be unscrupulous things happening as to why he wouldn't want to give you an invoice. So what I would encourage at this point, since you're not getting any result, is to contact us and file a complaint, and we can make contact to see if we can assist in getting you that invoice. You can call 1-800-422-7128.
Okay. 7128, and what was the...
1-800-422-7128.
I've got it. No, you don't want to comment on, well, I suppose it could be many things, why he wouldn't give me an invoice, whether it's taxes or that he sold me something that wasn't Quill Pacific or what?
Yep, yeah. There could just be different things happening, and some could be just honest issues in a life and an organizational issue or other things.
Yeah, but I think the point is you're wise to follow up on this and get a copy of your invoice, because if something does go wrong, you're going to need to prove the date that you bought your water heater for the warranty to engage. Yep. So.
Exactly. All very, right. Very strange. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Susan, for calling. Jan in Rhinelander up next. Hi, Jan. Thank you for calling. Jan, are you there? Jan, are you there?
I am there. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. What can we do for you?
I just wondered. We signed up for Exceed Internet here. Back in January, and it's not working for us. So. We're going to cancel it, and of course we're going to pay a high fee for doing that. And they charge you a month ahead, but yet when you cancel, they don't give you that month ahead back. I just wondered if that's legal.
That doesn't sound legal, but...
You do normally pay in advance for services, but then depending upon your terms of cancellation in your contract, if you're on a contract, you may have to give a particular amount of notice, and if you don't do that, then you would be subject to the next month's payment. So read through that. If you still feel that there is an issue in your refund not being proper as to what you should be receiving, then you know we're here for you to file that complaint, because one of the things is the representations made to you at the time of sale is something that we govern, making sure that those are followed through on.
All right.
Right, and I looked through the contract and didn't see anything about that extra month, paying that extra month, getting that back. So, and then who do I contact?
So you'd call the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection at 1-800-422-7128.
And that's the Department of Trade and Agriculture?
You'd be contacting the Bureau of Consumer Protection.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And Todd in Minocqua up next. Hi, Todd. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What can we do for you?
So we go to this restaurant in town, and they always round up to the nearest nickel on the check, and it's listed right on the receipt. So even if your tab is 1602, they charge you 1605. And I was wondering if that was a legal practice. And I inquire about it, and they tell me that the owner just hates counting pennies at the end of the day, and that seemed kind of fishy to me. So I was just wondering if there was a legal, if that was legal or not.
Yeah, this gets into a couple of different areas, because there'd be a representation as to what each meal should be, and then there's the tax aspects of your bill as well. So, again, this is something that I think would be good for us to have a sample, an example of, if you have one of those receipts, because if you have the menu price and things are listed, you should be charged that price. But if it's just you're being charged that price and then there's rounding, we're likely going to be contacting the Department of Revenue and sending things over there. There could be a tax issue going on.
Yeah, there could be.
Yeah, we actually stopped going. It's only a couple of pennies, but it's just kind of annoying. And you think at the end of the week, what is this guy recouping from this little practice?
Sure, and if it's something where you no longer go and don't want to file your complaint about, you can always just call the Department of Revenue and talk to them about the situation, and they have examiners that go out and check things, so it would be something they could inquire about.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, we haven't gone for several months, but just the conversation kind of spurred my memory to call and see what you knew about it. Okay, well, I guess we'll try to get an example, or we'll just call the Department of Revenue and have them take a look
into it. Yeah, I guess there could be some tax issues there.
Yeah, what's happening with the rounding money, because the bill is one thing, and that's what's going in based on the sale, and then there's pennies add up to dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Well, Todd in New Richmond is up next with a question. Thanks for calling, Todd.
Thanks for taking the call. I understand you've already addressed the IRS phone scam business that seems to be everywhere these days. But I have a related question. I'm in the habit of when I reject a phone number because I don't recognize it, I'll use a reverse white page lookup online just to see what I can find out about the number. And I'm used to seeing some risk level assigned to the number in terms of like a scam alert.
Yeah.
And I did that this morning when I received this alleged IRS call. And I went back and checked the phone number, and the whatever rating that the reverse white pages gives me said the risk of rating or level was low on that number. The question is, how reliable are those ratings in your experience?
Hmm.
Well, those are based on consumers that call in or send information, and then they do some kind of analysis and assign a rating. And I don't know how their ratings work. You know, it could be a number of things. It could be a number that the IRS scam caller had just begun to use. So I would use those websites as a general guide, but as far as, you know, interpreting a low versus a high risk, I just don't know how much value you can put on that.
Yeah, for sure.
I expect it. I suppose it's based on the number of reports they get that it's a scam, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should report it then.
Yeah, maybe you should. All right, there you go. Thanks a lot, Todd, for calling. Well, John in La Crosse up next. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
I'll try and be quick. I bought a new truck in Minnesota about 2 months ago, and shortly after I bought it, I was besieged in spam phone calls from all over the country. So I call a dealership and ask if they released my name or sold it after I bought the truck. They said, no, but your Department of Transportation does. And I said, really? And so I'm trying to verify whether they do that or not. Do you know if DOT releases numbers of car buyers?
They do, actually, through the open records law, if a request is made. So you, as a consumer, have the option to opt out of that. And one of the things that people who are buying cars, you can opt out at the time of signing all the paperwork. There's one little area where it indicates that, and usually the box is pre-checked, so you want to monitor that. But now that it's after the fact, you can contact Department of Transportation. There's information on their website, and you can opt out of that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. And Martin in Madison, your turn. Hi, Martin.
Hi there. I've just been listening to your show. I had a couple of instances in Vernon County recently where I've asked for receipts and haven't gotten them. One was I was at a bowling alley, and they told me that my charge was $15 even, so I asked them for a receipt, at which point they got very, very nervous and couldn't give me one. And then later on at a different place, I was at a golf course, and I asked for a receipt, and they refused to give me one. They just said flat out, I can't give you one. So I was curious, basically, is that probably a way of avoiding taxes on these things. So I had two questions, basically. What's the number I should call to report those things? And number two, basically, what percentage of businesses do you estimate are trying to avoid taxes with cash transactions like that in Wisconsin?
Yeah,
as to the second question, would have no context or idea on answering that. You know, maybe the Department of Revenue would have some information that they could figure out or calculate based on their exams that they do. But you could contact our agency by filing a complaint, and we can route it. But receipt requirements vary depending upon entity, and there aren't necessarily any requirements that you be issued a receipt for things. You can always ask and request. There are other areas indicating that an e-receipt is acceptable in exchange for. If a credit card number is there, then it has to truncate and only have the last four digits of a credit card number when receipt receipts are issued. So if there's a concern about not receiving one, you can contact us and we'll follow with the business, but there may not be a requirement that one be provided at that specific transaction. So you can go online, datcp.wi.gov, and file online there, or call 1-800-422-7128.
There we go.
Well, what's the typical case when you need to be given a receipt and when you're not? What's the generic answer?
Yeah, there isn't a typical case, is there?
No, there isn't, because gas stations vary from restaurants, from entertainment outfits, from whether or not it's an invoice situation, what's considered a receipt. So there is no generic.
There we go. Thanks a lot for calling. And Rob in Fitchburg, hello.
I want to know if there's a way to figure out if these pranksters have been calling me with the phone numbers generated on the internet, because they call me on these numbers and I call them back, and then turns out they're just using the number of some guy in the area. Because there's all these pranksters, you know, with the mwah, mwah, mwah.
Well, Sandy?
I don't think there is a good way to tell. Sometimes your caller ID will have kind of, it looks like a random string of numerals, and that could be a voice over internet or computer generated call. But remember that they can make your caller ID look like whatever they want it to look like. So there is no good test of determining before you pick up whether it's a computer or not.
Ruth called with a suggestion for calls on an extra landline. She just uses it for an emergency purpose. She was getting a lot of telemarketers on that line, so she unplugged it for a week. And when she plugged it back in, the number of telemarketers had reduced a lot. Was that just luck?
It could be just a random occurrence, and not many people have the option to leave their phone unplugged for a week, so that I think would not be a good solution for most people.
And Timothy emailed to say his son had used eHarmony dating service for 3 months at $55 a month, after which he went into his account and canceled his service. eHarmony continued to reach into his MasterCard account and charged him $132.48. The 60-day time period for having a chargeback through the credit card company has expired. Is there anything he can do?
Again, you can file a complaint with us. That's one of the things we're there for, based on the representation of service. We'd want to look at, what did he sign up for? Was it a three-month package and he just after a month quit, or was it a month-by-month or trial period? Those are things we'll look at if a complaint's filed. But we'll contact eHarmony about that situation, and we'll look at our regulations in the state as well.
So, again, go to datcp.wi.gov, or he could phone, and the phone number is 1-800-422-7128.
That's right.
And you know what? Here we are out of time, and I had all kinds of other questions about the recent fake Amazon order cancellation emails and the pet adoption scams. We didn't get to that, and some summer issues as well. So I guess you're just going to have to come back in a month.
We'll do it.
Okay. They will be back on July 6th, and we'll take up some of those issues I just mentioned. And, of course, as always, we will take your questions as well. Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the department. They'll be back on July 6th. At this time tomorrow will be Garden Talk. Our expert from UW Extension has some garden safety tips for us. And we'll also take a look at what to expect if your plants are injured because of hail or late frost. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store.